Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Yay,
and as we have been for the last few times, this is sponsored by the EGA Sampler University. And you want to go to egausa.org to learn about Sampler University, which is a special thing, special event within the national seminar event. 2 days that's open to non-members, members and non-members, and you do two, a sampler, Isabella Kettlewell, and that's from Sylvia Stecker at Running with Needles and Scissors, and then a sampler sewing roll from Becky Noland of Lucy Beam. So you get two projects, and then a whole bunch of other things, meals and all kinds of goodies, and then a chance to participate in some of the seminar, national seminar. So you want to check that out, but go to egausa.org. And then this past Sunday, we had a show with Joy Cobb, who is the chair of the national seminar. And we talked about it quite a bit in there. And we spent better part of an hour just talking about the seminar and all the things. It's when you really break it down, it is amazing what they have to offer. It's really pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. It's next November, so it's a year from now. So time to participate, to sign up and participate. But classes are filling up, so you want to register for those right away. There's several still open, but you definitely want to get registered. But it's a massive event. It's really, really well done. So check it out. Yep. So that, and then we have our own event, the Needle Arts Weekend that we're doing in March, and registration open for that. Encourage people to do that. The URL for that's right at the bottom here of the page, wetalkfiber.com/weekend, and all the details are there to sign up. So encourage you to sign up. 3 days of stitching. 6 classes, and that classes are built into the cost, and staying at the Embassy Suites in St. Charles, which is just a few miles north of St. Louis, and lots of space and some neat classes, and it's just going to be a great time. So encourage people to sign up for that and register and get on the list as we, it's November and the year is over, huh?
I know.
Oof. Yeah.
Yep. Flying by.
Yep. So do that. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend. Please join us.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yep. Sunday, all kinds of events going on. Sunday, our two guests, Mark and Nadine Roger from Creative Experiences. And it's creative-experiences.com. And this is the pinnacle of stitching events, stitching trips. They have a list, the number of tutors they get for to teach their classes are all the top name people, all the top name. And I was really pleased when I went through the list the first time that the 2024 list, we had interviewed all but like 3 or 4 of them. So
great.
I was pretty proud of us for that. But Jessica Grimm and Ann Beck were the two that first told us about it. So we did a show.
Yes.
So you can learn all about it. These are trips that you make primarily to Europe. And you learn from a top-end teacher. And there's a project with each one. But they're at beautiful resorts. They're all over resorts and hotels. They're all over Europe. Ann Bex is going to be in France with a side trip to Paris. They're going to have needle felting next year. Libby Ashdown, who we've talked to a couple times now, they're going to do an event on passementry, and so bring your loom, or they'll arrange to have looms. This is the coolest one. Okay, Nicola Jarvis is doing one of these events. you can't call them a retreat because there's so much more.
Right.
But we talked to Nicola Jarvis, her new book, where it's all based on walks she's done with her dog in the English countryside, basically behind her home. That's where it's going to be held.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding. No kidding.
Wow.
Like some, I'm sure it's a hotel nearby, but your people who attend are going to be able to go on walks with Nicola and probably with her dog, Quince. Yeah, everything that inspired in the book, you're going to be able to go see where she got all that. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Life and Seasons.
She's in England, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how far from London. I don't recall, but Life and Seasons is her book, and then yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. You talk about putting it all together in one thing, a book, Nicola Jarvis, and then you get to go where she walked around and got her inspiration. And, oh, man, that's knocking it out of the park. Yeah. So
yeah.
So that creative-experiences.com, make sure you get the hyphen in there, is the website. And then we talk with Mark and Nadine next year. Or next Sunday. Now their origins are travel, tour setting up tours. They took over the business from Mark's parents, who were doing I'll just tell the whole show and then nobody will have to listen. they were doing ski trips, and then Nadine is the needleworker, and they thought maybe we could extend, other than just ski season, extend the business in year round. And so then they started doing that, and then Mark's parents retired, and then Mark and Nadine took it over, and now all they do is needlework experiences.
Wow.
They arrange everything.
That's awesome.
Yep, they arrange everything. You get on a plane and get to wherever you have to fly to. They pick you up. They take you to the place. They take care of everything. They take you back. If you have a spouse coming, they will either have a list of things to do or Mark will go do things with the spouse.
Like,
the men are welcome. Yeah, the whole thing is very, very cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, so check that out Sunday. That's Sunday. Yep. So there we go. That's all we got. We're done. So we were talking before we started recording and realized we were basically using show material, so we stopped. This whole question of AI images, AI-generated images, and we've been seeing several of them on primarily Facebook, but Facebook and Instagram of embroidery. Mm-hmm. And there was a discussion, Mary Corbett, did an article about it. And then you have to be a member, but on Needle Pointers or Cyber Pointers. Cyber Pointers website, there's been a discussion about these things. And then you said you read a lengthy description in one of the Facebook cross-stitch groups about how to identify these.
A lot of these are coming from Etsy. People are just creating images, quote unquote cross stitch patterns, designs, and then people are buying them and saying, well, I can't, how do I stitch this? Mm-hmm. The chart doesn't make any sense. I mean, there was a whole long, there's been I've seen a lot of complaints. But one of the things that this woman that posted, what kinds of things to look for, there's the obvious, the more fingers on the hand than you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
or a fingernail missing, or what, three eyes or whatever, those are kind of the obvious things. But one of the comments she made was about looking for something that is actually stitched. Now, some people responded to that, designers, and said, you know, I don't have time to stitch everything.
Yeah.
You know, presumably they are not doing AI generated cross stitch. You know, they're doing it the hard way,
Yeah.
but they don't have time to stitch everything. And you know, that's reasonable.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, you can do a little due diligence
A
there.
what?
You know, if you're gonna, yeah, easy for me to say.
Yeah.
It's all your fault. You started it.
I know. Proud of it.
You know, you can find out a little bit more about the artist, the designer, you know, that you want to buy a pattern from, and see if they have pieces that you know that are actually stitched, or if people are, I suppose, if people are putting reviews on the Etsy designer's page, you know, you can look at those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's only going to get harder and harder
Yeah.
as people get better at generating these things. And I don't know, maybe at some point in time they'll be good enough that you actually can stitch it. And then we
Yeah.
have another whole different problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Yeah, it's
you know, I guess the thing is, one of the comments that Mary Corbett made in her newsletter, which, and that should be on her website, needleandthread.com.
It is, yeah.
You know, she zoomed in pretty close to the picture of an AI generated needlework design and was pointing out, you know, the way the stitches look, they look too perfect,
Yeah.
and the quote unquote stitches, and heavy shadows, which you don't see heavy shadows on needlework unless it's stump work.
Right.
And these clearly weren't stump work. So, but you know, you got to look pretty darn close to see those kinds of
Yeah.
things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's for me, I think most of them, 75, 80% of them are obvious. And to me, it's because they're too perfect. They're just too clean to be work that someone did by hand. And I was telling you before we started recording, when I was doing the magazine, and I'm retired now, yes,
Yay.
all done, all done, no more. And that's,
Congratulations.
hey, thanks. And let me tell you, I've been working since I was 16, and I cannot tell you what an adjustment it is. The hardest one, tangent here, the hardest one is Sunday, where you start mentally preparing yourself to go back to work Monday. I don't know, you probably experienced that. That's hard. Yeah. It's like I feel myself start to tense up, and I got to get this done and that done. And I did it yesterday. We're recording on Monday. I did it yesterday. All right, what do I got to do tomorrow? I don't have to do anything. You know? Yeah. So how long did it take? You know, big tangent back to AI in a minute, but did it take you a while before you got that out of your system?
In a way, but I had kind of a longer transition,
Oh.
partly because of COVID.
Oh.
So I was already working from home, and then they cut my hours
Oh, okay.
because not billable enough, you know, consulting.
Yeah.
So I was working 30 hours a week
Okay.
instead of 40
Yeah.
or 50, you
Yeah,
know, whatever.
or 60 or whatever, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you know, it was like I was really ready to retire. And so, you know, and I know you work from home too, so
Right. Yeah.
yeah, it you know, it's hard to get out of that mindset where you think, yeah, I've got this and this to do, and you know,
Yeah.
but it'll go away eventually.
Boy, I hope so. It's hard. I mean, I'm finding it really hard. And you know, in 45 years, I've been working on deadlines. I mean, you know, every week, every day, every week, every month, there are deadlines that need to be met. And I mean, that's, you know, that drives the work days and the work weeks, and it's not there anymore. And it's like, whoa, I don't know how to behave. So Anyway, back to, I'll get there. Trust me, I'll work it out. Trust me, because I was done. I was done making magazines.
And you have things to do.
I do.
You ride your bike. You stitch.
Yep.
Think about people that don't have hobbies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got plenty to do. Yeah. It's getting adjusted to, wait a minute, I could sit and stitch all day if I want to. How does that work? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So
yeah, or sit and stare out the window.
I know. I know. And I did some of that today. And I said, what are you doing? There's stuff you can do, you know? So when I was doing the magazine, it was all for manufacturing. And we did a lot of, well, virtually all of our images were stock images. Mm-hmm. And of manufacturing plants inside and outside, different components, mm-hmm. motors, gears, you name it.
Machines, yeah.
And in the past 6 to 8 months, Adobe has been filling their stock photo library, which is what we used, with AI-generated images. And I'm sure it's because it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to pay photographers, and mm-hmm. they can have whatever they want. So, and I'm sure they go through all the searches and see what people are looking for. Because all of a sudden, there were images that were fitting what I needed perfectly. Red flag. How does this happen after years of struggling to find images that were exactly what I wanted? Down in the corner, AI generated. Well, I refused to use them because this is a magazine about real-world manufacturing. I'm not going to put images up that are fake.
Right.
Even no matter how good they are. But that was, I learned to detect those and got to the point after a couple of months of searching for images, because it takes a lot of time to find good images.
Oh, yeah.
I started being able to pick them out. And that was the biggest key, was they were too clean. They were too mm-hmm. perfect. They were just composed too well. You'd look at the equipment. There was no grease on it. You know, there was no weathering. It was too perfect. And that was the other thing. How can I put up an image of a manufacturing plant that doesn't exist, and anybody who works in a plant would know immediately that doesn't exist, because there's no way those motors don't have dirt on them.
Right.
Even if you clean them, they have dirt on them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you put up a refinery picture. Yeah.
First time you run a piece of equipment.
Right. It's all over.
You know, brand new piece of equipment.
Right.
First time you run it, it's going to be dirty.
It's all over. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
So it was for me, you know, right away. And so when I started seeing the embroidery needlework images, I spotted them right away. Wait, that isn't right.
Okay.
That line is too clean. There's no way you can stitch a line that clean. It just, mm-hmm. you know, it just can't happen. Especially if it's cross stitch or, you know, it just can't happen. and but you do have to spend a moment, you know, to
right.
yeah. And if you're not used to looking at images, then infinitely harder.
Mm-hmm.
So watch for those. I think it's tragic, because we have to watch for counterfeits. You know, we have to, people who are stealing other designers' images.
Yeah, right. Copyright infringement.
Right. Now we have to watch for fake images. And what you were saying, you may have said this, and but that people were buying the patterns, and then how do you stitch them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned Etsy and mm-hmm. Pinterest. Pinterest, to me, is absolute cesspool of stolen material.
Yeah.
I don't, that's why when we first started doing this podcast, I was putting up Pinterest links for designers when we'd interview them.
Mm-hmm.
But I quit. I just quit, and I refused to put up a Pinterest link of any kind, because they won't police themselves. They won't police it. And
right.
I don't want to be part of that, because you're encouraging people to use a system that is riddled with counterfeits. And you know, and anybody can put up an Etsy shop. And they don't pay attention. They just want their commission off the top. That's all they care about.
Right.
So yes, now so it's one more thing now we got to watch for when we want to buy things. It's so frustrating. But it's the world.
And you know, I do buy things from Etsy for needlework stuff. But you know, it's another reason to go to the local needlework store instead of buying stuff online. I mean, even if you don't have a local needlework store, which we don't, you know, so Sassy Jack's, you know, 123 Stitch, a stitching shop, and you know, needle in a haystack, there's any number of them, you know, that will send you what you want. And so that's the biggest problem there is you can't see what you're gonna buy before you buy it, which is a problem for threads and fabric.
Huge. Yeah, that's a huge drawback. But yeah, I mean that's it's tragic. And you gotta do your homework. And that's the thing. You shouldn't have to sit down, see something you like, click on a link and go buy it. You shouldn't have to then go do some research and see if it's a real designer. It's like, come on, I like that. I want to stitch it. I want to buy it. But you can't do that. You just can't do it. But that's in the cycling community, and it really came to the forefront during the pandemic when parts were hard to get. And for regular cycling, the one part that is hardest to that got really hard to get was chains. And like I go through a chain about every 2,500 miles, I eat up a chain. So, now I'll do 6,500 miles this year. So I'll go through three plus chains in a year. Well, chains are good ones are 60, 70, 80 bucks, depending on what you buy. And chains started showing up online for 30, 40 bucks. Yep. They were counterfeit Shimano chains, and they had all the markings on the box and everything till you knew what to look for. And then, too good to be true? You bet it is. Too good to be true. And so people were buying chains. Counterfeit chains that didn't last, didn't shift right, but jump on it. You get a Shimano chain for half off or a third off, you get it because they're, you eat them up. They're a consumable. And same kind of thing. And so now for all of my bike parts, I have to take time to make sure that I'm buying from a reputable place or go to the local bike shop. And people were getting fakes from bike shops because bike shops didn't know until they got keyed in. And yeah, same kind of thing. So I'm sure it's that way. It's going to end up being that way in just about every hobby, where if you're going to buy something, you better make sure you know where you're buying it from because it's so frustrating. It's just.
Well, and then, you know, when people buy these charts and then try to, you know, go back to the seller to, you know, get some information on, you know, how to stitch the things, then the seller's nowhere to be found, you know, or they don't respond, you know, they ghost them and, you know, they're just out. And maybe it wasn't a whole lot of money, you know, but still they're out and they can't stitch the, I mean, they picked that piece because they really liked it a lot, you know, and thought it was beautiful.
There's a lot of people that if they buy a project for their budget, that is a significant decision. They might be able to buy, they love stitching, but maybe it can only do half dozen a year tops. Have to watch what threads they get, can't get silk, got to get cotton, all those things. And then to get sucked into one of these things, that's a double hurt. That's just
It's really, really sad. Really unfortunate.
So if we can find Cindy's going to see if she can find that. It was a lengthy piece on a cross stitch thing. We'll post a link to it if it's available. Some of these are in private groups, so you have to join the group, but we'll at least try and put up somewhere what group it's in so you can join the group or something, because it sounds like that particular article was rather detailed.
There's a possibility I saved it, but I'll have to go look. Otherwise, I'll just search and see if I can find it.
Yeah, okay. And if nothing else, go to Mary Corbett's site, needleandthread.com. Go to her site and read that piece, because she does
It'll be on her blog.
Yeah.
And there's a heading up at the top that says blog.
Right. Yeah, because she did a good job of laying the groundwork for this mm-hmm. issue.
And then she linked to another article that was published recently by Lolly and Grace. I think they're canvas designers.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was a good article too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go check that out. Now there's one, not to prolong this, but to prolong this. Painted canvases. Imagine if you bought a $300-$400 painted canvas, poorly painted, or you didn't get it at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta watch it. Yep. Needlework stores, if at all possible, needlework stores, either directly or online, is your way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Because none of this stuff is cheap. It's just, irritates me. Mm-hmm. Irritates me. Speaking of stuff you can get at needlework shops, Jackie Duplessis' Rise Above the Waters ornament at Sassy Jack Stitchery is one to buy because for a couple reasons. One, it's just really nice. Just really nice. Nicely done. But the proceeds, the profits from that, Kim is giving to local food bank in the Asheville area where help is needed. And just because it's not on the news doesn't mean help isn't needed. that's going to be a while. It's going to be a minute before they get that all straightened out there. There was a thing on a mountain bike group on Facebook, and a guy was in near Asheville showing where a mountain bike trail had been. Yeah. Just gully, gone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the point where I don't even know how they put it back there. And that's, there's another tourist attraction thing. But Rise Above the Waters, Sassy Jack Stitchery, at the top of the homepage, there's a link for ornament. And you just go there and you buy it. And then Kathy Ray at Needle in a Haystack has, it's so cool when shops work together on these things, because Kathy has this laser cutter. And so she made an acorn thread holder. What is the right term for that? Where they have the whole, good. It's not just me. All right, fine. One of those.
Thread holder.
Yeah. One of those things that has holes in it where you put the different colored threads, whatever that's called, which will come to us as soon as we're done recording. In the shape of an acorn, because that is, Kim's Sassy Jacks is a squirrel. That's kind of her logo type thing. So Kathy made an acorn. So you can buy that too to go with the thing. It's the nicest design, and it's designed as an ornament, but we were talking last Wednesday on the show about making it into a needle book, and what were some of the other ideas? There were several ideas thrown around.
A pouch. You could make a little pouch out of it.
Yeah.
And tuck a gift card in it, or candy canes or whatever. It could it'll be a beautiful ornament, but you could do lots of different things with it.
Little pillow,
yeah. Pincushion.
Yeah. Because it has a design on the front, and then the back is a Bargello design. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was, which way do I show?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So check that out at sassyjackstitchery.com. And it's a good cause. It's for a good cause. Well worth it. Okay. Already, the time is flying, and we're going to, I really wanted to get into this. So at church, we have these small group dinners. So once a month, 8 people get together and have dinner at each other's house. get to know. It's a huge, it's a gigantic church with four services where chances are you just never meet anyone. So they have these things so you can meet other people in the congregation. We go on Saturday night. We never see anybody on Sunday, you know, that kind of thing. So they have these things. Well, one of the ladies had done some cross-stitch. And the other day she said to me, my daughter and granddaughter are probably going to start listening to Fiber Talk, because we talked about it in the dinners, because they want to learn how to do needlepoint. And it was a setting where I really couldn't follow up and say, hey, well, I'll be happy to help. It was just one of those passing things. And then she was off to something, and, you know, so I couldn't follow up. And I know I could have called her, I could have emailed, I could have done all kinds of things, but I didn't. So it got me thinking that the next time we did one, which is now, if somebody came to you and said, hey, I want to learn needlepoint, what advice would we give them? How would we direct them? Because after she left me making that statement, my wheels started spinning. Mm. Painted, counted. How do you, because when I learned, all there was painted.
Right.
With wool. That's what, you know, it was like, you can have all colors of wool, but they're going to be wool. And I don't even know if 18 count was, it was mostly 13 count. I'm sure 18 existed, but that's what I learned on was that.
On Penelope.
Oh, there was Penelope, yeah, which you can't find hardly. You got to go look for that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of those pre-stitched ones were, you know, where the center part was stitched, the floral bouquet or whatever it was. Yeah. And all you did was basket weave the background.
I know.
I think those were usually on Penelope,
right.
Weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they were, because Penelope was quite common. Yeah, and I never understood that. Why would I pay someone to do the fun part? Well, I never got that. Do the background for me, you know? Do the boring stuff. I'm all in then. You can have my money plus 10% if somebody will do the background. But, yeah, I never got that. Yeah, whatever.
But even then, the image was done in basket weave or tent. Stitch.
That's all you did.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's all done in wool, all done in a basic, you know, diagonal stitch over one intersection. And
yep. Yeah. And I was taught to do tent stitch. And so my first one, when I took it off I used scroll bars. When I took it off the thing, it just went, eh, you know, because I'd done it too tight and didn't know any better. And yeah. And so, I mean, to block it was, I just gave up. It wasn't worth it. But, I mean, that's what you did, and that's what you were taught. And it was like, yeah, here you go, and here's how to make the stitch, and I'll go away.
Right.
And then basket weave, I'm sure it existed. But, you know, that was a little more to teach, so they didn't bother. Mm-hmm. You know, go make, just keep wrapping, basically just wrapping thread around intersections and fill in the colors, you know. So so today, what would you advise a rank beginner?
Actually, I'd encourage them to try to find an EGA or ANG chapter.
Okay.
And join the guild. You know they're not necessarily going to learn needlepoint in the first meetings that they go to, but they're going to find somebody there that can help them.
Mm-hmm.
Shops are another good, a good way to learn something, you know, go in and pick out a canvas if you're wanting to do painted canvas.
Yeah.
You know, and the shop owners are going to be happy to work with you to pick threads and to help you pick out stitches,
mm-hmm.
or sell you a stitch guide that's already.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, the counted canvas is harder because, again, there's fewer needlework stores that are carrying those kinds of projects. But here again, the guilds are going to, you know, teach those kinds of projects.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's always YouTube.
Yeah, there is. Which, there's plenty of instruction there. But would you direct?
I think the hardest thing about YouTube, though, was figuring out what question to ask. Teach me to needlepoint. Well, that's what we're struggling with right here, right?
Well, see, to me, that's why that question stuck with me. They want to learn needlepoint. Oh boy. How do you keep that simple? Because cross stitch, I want to learn how to cross stitch. You can sit down with someone with a chart and show a couple three stitches and basically, do this, but make sure the top stitch always goes the same way and count. And if you get stuck, give me a call, but basically that's it. So, but needlepoint, for me, the first question was, would you? All things being equal, would you advise someone to do counted canvas or painted?
Depends. So my guess is with a younger person, especially the granddaughter, she's probably going to want to do something simple like a saying, some kind of a snarky thing or whatever, which is a perfect thing to start with. Simple stitches, not a lot of color changes or whatever. If you have somebody that wants to dive into a really variegated, highly colored design that has a lot of detail in it, my advice would be to wait. Try some smaller projects first. Start with an ornament. A lot of it is going to depend, I think, what they want to do. It's going to depend on what they've seen that has kind of lit that spark in their head. Did they see, there's been articles in magazines, not your grandmother's needlepoint. So the kinds of things that you're seeing in the magazines are going to be like pillows and simple framed pieces. So, it's not an easy question to answer with just, I want to learn how to do needlepoint. You really need to talk to them a little bit more. And I would be likely to say, come over and sit down and I'll, show you how to do it.
Well, and I think that's where I'm going to go. I'll likely, especially after this discussion, write and say, hey, I'll be happy to help. But see, okay, so that is really good. What piqued your interest? What did you see that got you so excited that you wanted to at least give it a whirl? Because that will help you decide, or help you and I decide, whether to send them down the painted lane or the counted lane. So that's a good question to ask. And so that's, if they want my help, that's item one then. But see, for me, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say if they're interested in counted, then I'd point them towards Debbie Rowley's website. She's got several free projects on there that she takes you through every single step, and her directions are great.
Well, and now there's another one to remember, because cost of entry to me is the biggest thing. All right, let me take you to Debbie Rowley's site where you can get a free pattern that you can use. So if you hate it, you're out a little bit of thread. And quite frankly, I've got thread here, I'll give you thread, You know what I mean? I've got a roll of canvas. I'll cut out a piece for you. I don't care. But so that's the other thing, because when it comes to the cost of entry, that hurdle, the minute you go painted canvas, you've got that big chunk. You start out with that big chunk when you haven't done anything. You've seen a picture, you've seen someone else's piece, and you want to do it, bang. You know, you're at $100, $150 at the cheap end.
Well, you know, even ornaments, you know, I don't know, 3-inch ornament canvas is going to be $75.
Right, right. Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a significant hurdle there.
Yeah. So,
and then, you know, and then the threads.
Right. And that's just it. And then threads are invariably that much more, you know, double the cost time you get what you need, especially if you're beginning, you need the needle, you need the
stretcher bars,
the whole thing. Yeah. So to me, the cost of entry, but then I look at, all right, if we send them down the counted lane, a counted canvas ornament, you buy the chart, $25 ish, thread and canvas, you're probably going to get out the door for less than $100. If it's not a big complex piece.
Right.
So to me, that, you know, does money matter to you? I mean, and that doesn't come out right, but, you know.
It matters to everybody. Right.
But do you have some flexibility in terms of what you spend to start? Or are you really just want to give it a try and not get in up to your neck in cost? But then, okay, so then if you go counted canvas, so then it becomes, all right, now how do I stitch this? Painted canvas, well, we have a stitch guide. Well, there's another $30. I don't know. I've never bought one. Don't know what they cost. No idea. But then counted, then you would have a chart. Say, let's use Debbie Rowley as an example. You would have all the instruction you need. Mm-hmm. That if you're at all literate, you can go out and by yourself, you can figure it out.
Right.
But then invariably you're going to have more than basket weave.
Right.
So, yeah.
But again, you know, if it's, and this is true for the painted canvases too, because it's not just basket weave for those. You know, right. You buy a stitch guide and there's going to be lots of different stitches. But Debbie and other designers are really good about giving numbered charts. And I'll, here, this is.
Yeah.
So this is one, the first step on Africana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just cross stitches with an upright cross over the intersections. But she's numbered every single step.
Right. Right.
So, you know, those are the kinds of things that you should look for as a beginner. Now, I don't need a numbered chart.
Right.
To stitch any of these stitches for the most part.
Right.
But somebody with lesser experience, and we've had this in our chapter, you know, mm-hmm. people say, well, how do I stitch that? You know, there's no numbers on it. So then you have to, you know, write the numbers on the chart for them so that they know where to come up and where to go down.
Yep. Come up at 1, go down at 2, come up at 3, go down at 4, and don't do it the other way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But so see, that's where when I was thinking about this, the dilemma came in for me, because in my mind, if you give someone a counted canvas, a Debbie Rowley chart, mm-hmm. everything is there that they can go off and do it. Mm-hmm. If they can follow instructions and they know to come up on the odd numbers and go down on the even numbers, they can do it. Mm-hmm. It's all laid out. Where on mm-hmm. a painted canvas, stitch guides, I'm sure, are all over the road in terms of, you know, fill in this area with a road stitch, fill in this area with a Jessica, which, mm-hmm. unless you're experienced, then you either, you know, there you are.
Well, and then, you start getting into, depending upon what kind of a design you've got, you start getting into compensation, or you've got, a curve or something where your stitch has to fit into it, and you've got the stitch there as it's done in the full way. What do you do when you come to an area where you can't put a full stitch in?
And in the painted world, probably one of the biggest frustrations for people without a lot of experience is compensation.
Probably. The other thing is sometimes, and again, this is going to depend upon the complexity of the design, but sometimes you don't know what color to put where. And so this speaks to the expense of the canvases. If the canvas has been stitch painted, you won't have that problem. So that means that the artist, and not the designer, because they hire people to do this for them, but the painter is going to paint every single intersection one by one by one to make sure that they're the right color. You get canvases that aren't painted so meticulously, or they're screen printed. Those are going to be a lot cheaper. They're not AI generated. They're screen printed onto the canvas. Well, I don't know. They might be AI generated, but they haven't, that's new. But screen printed canvases have been around for a while. And then you have to start making decisions. Well, do I put the dark blue here, or do I put the medium blue here?
Well, that was, back in the days of Lee Ward's and some of those things where you'd get the lower end dimension kits. I mean, those were all screen printed, and that, okay, now where do I stop? Where do I start? This doesn't appear to be the right, all kinds of things in terms of where the colors go, and in more advanced ones where the stitches go, and then how to compensate, and a lot of that just wasn't available. But I think you have good advice. If they're going to go, say they're excited about what was a painted canvas piece, to go with some saying. So you have solid blocks of color, straight edges, squared off corners, those kinds of things, because that helps eliminate a lot of the challenging part.
The other thing is go to the library and see what kind of needlework books they have. And, they may not have a very good selection. A lot of them don't. But, it's worth checking out. If they've got a comprehensive needlepoint book that shows you how to start and stop your threads, talks about what kinds of threads you should use and the needles and all of that kind of stuff, in addition to stitches. And I would say that the needlepoint book, Joe Ippolito.
Yes. That's the one I was just trying to, That's the one.
That's not her full name. I can't
No.
remember the rest of it. The only problem with that is it's old.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it. Everything in it is right,
Right.
but it's maybe not going to be as understandable, maybe.
Yeah.
The pictures are old, a lot of them are black and white.
Yeah, it's an excellent
And
book. I mean, it's the Bible as far as I'm concerned.
it is, And I use it a lot. But there's newer introduction to needlepoint books out there, and your library might have one or two.
And if you're in if you really need it, Beth, just contact Beth, her library. She's browbeat into they have every book ever printed, I swear. That library, everyone should go on a pilgrimage to her library just to see needlework books. There's probably a whole section. But But see, you know, and here as we're talking about it now, what the better part of 15 or 20 minutes, you know, I start to think, okay, if I'm going to help someone, I got to condense that down because their eyes are going to glaze over. It's like, forget this, too much. You know, you got to be careful because just too much. I can't deal with this. My friend does cross stitch and they just make X's and,
Well, and some of it depends too on how much the other needlework they've done. If they're a skilled cross stitcher, they shouldn't have any trouble picking up counted canvas.
Right, agreed.
Now, it takes a little bit of adjustment. You have to change from counting holes to, or you know, counting holes to counting threads. And if I think about it too hard, I get confused.
Yeah, you got to go on autopilot. Just let it go.
Just do it. But at least you have the experience of reading a chart. If you've never done any kind of needlepoint before, any kind of needlework before, it's going to be a bigger effort to start get started. And here again, this is where having somebody you can sit down with at a needlework store or in the guild, and both EGA and ANG have pages on their websites that tell you where the chapters are. And all of the chapters are going to let guests come. They're not going to make you join right away. Even if you're not now you do have to join the national, if you want to join, you have to join the national organization as well as the chapter. So there's some additional costs there, but they will, every chapter should welcome people that want to come and find out about the chapter and maybe learn a little bit. And you know, if you find out that, yeah, this is you know, going to work for me, then you can join. And but EGA is how I learned how to do all the different things I know how to do. Before then, I had done crewel, surface embroidery, and cross stitch. And joining EGA just opened up, you know, a whole world of different techniques.
Well, that's, you know, and that's the power of those organizations and the local guilds is to grow. They're the best place to grow the hobby, because they're people. And I don't know that I probably I don't know that I've ever met anyone at any kind of a meeting that wasn't more than willing to take whatever time you need to help you out. Everyone is willing to share, help out, sometimes overshare, but you know, make you know, to make sure you have success. Because I think all of it, I mean, we all want people who are interested to be successful and to enjoy it. So there's that.
The
And we could
next
get.
best thing would be to find a shop, which you're going to have, you know, if, unless you're going to order everything off online, you're going to need a shop sooner or later anyway.
Almost unavoidable. So, and of course, we could get into all the weeds of all the different pieces, you know, stretcher bars and all those things, but you learn those along the way. For me, I mean, my first one was in hand. Here's a needle, here's some wool, here's a canvas. Here's how to do this tent stitch, you know, go get them.
People still stitch that way. And probably they're not doing the more complicated stitches when they're working in hand. You know, they're doing simpler stitches. But yeah, it's I would not start somebody that way.
No. Get them set up. Well, and that's just it, for crying out loud. If you're helping somebody out and they need stretcher bars, how many of us don't have a small forest of stretcher bars that we can't spare a set, for crying out loud, you know?
Right.
Sometimes think that needleworkers' closets are fire hazards because of all the dry wood. So.
Well, I mean, really, scissors, needles,
Yeah.
you know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You
we've
know.
All got more needles than, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If somebody came into this room right now, yeah, I could easily equip them with everything and I wouldn't even notice it was gone. You know, just, which is pretty sad, but true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. We need to wrap up. We're going to run out of time, but I just think it's an interesting thing, an interesting question. Whether it, you know, and it really doesn't matter what the technique is. This
right.
one just happened to be needlepoint. But how do you get someone started without overwhelming them, without scaring them right out of it? You know, how do you get them started so they'll have success?
Yep.
And so they are, you know.
Scaring them out of it is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is one of the hazards of joining a chapter.
Yes.
Because you'll see what everybody's been doing and
Oops.
It's intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people need to remember that those people have been stitching for decades
yeah.
in many cases.
Yeah.
And we all started, you know, with just basic stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, you know, if we went if I went back and looked at some of the stuff I did decades ago, I probably wouldn't want to look at them too close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my sister, my youngest sister has, I did a wedding wreath for them, which, you know, decades ago, embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I was there, or the time before, I don't remember, she hauled that out. I'd forgotten I did it, you know, it was whatever. But I'd had it framed and everything. She still had that thing.
Oh, great.
And it was, oh, no, how bad was it, you know? It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad if I didn't look real close. It was mm-hmm. tolerable, yeah. But, you know, today there's no way, you know, I would have given anybody like that. But she still had it, hung over their bed. You know, that was the one time that giving a gift actually was, yeah, oh yeah, she says that, yeah, still have it. But yeah, you're right. The complexity, cause I mean, I've had people come in the house and see stuff I've done that's hanging on the wall immediately. Oh, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can, but it'll take some effort, but yeah, you can. You can do all of it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, some of it
is. If you're willing to sit down and make the effort
yeah.
and learn how to do it and realize that nobody turns out a perfect piece the first time they try.
Yeah. Yeah. Except that going in.
Maybe not even the 50th time they try.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe not.
I mean, how many photographs did you just pitch when you were doing photography?
Oh, thousands. Thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
No, that's
artists,
just it.
Artists, the same thing. How many paintings do they do that they throw in the fireplace?
Right.
You know, or throw in the trash or
yep.
whatever that, you know, we only see a very small part of what the artworks that are done because, you know, they don't all work out.
Right.
You got to practice.
Yep. Yeah. I have, in all the years I did photography, I have two images that I would sit down in front of you and say, there, find a flaw. Thousands and thousands of images, but I have two where, you know, find a flaw. Go ahead. Good luck. but you know, but that's just it. That's just it. And same with needlework. We all have one stitch somewhere in a piece where if it hadn't been 20 stitches ago, you go back and redo it, you know, or
mm-hmm.
or you never notice it and you move on. And yeah. Everybody.
And the other thing is don't beat yourself up about it because this is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the hard part for me. Yeah. I beat myself up. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. Tear it out. No. I mean, I have to have that conversation a lot, you know. All right, that the tension wasn't quite right on that, but is it worth tearing out the whole section just for that? No. 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 Sometimes I'll go on the backside and give it a little tug and tie it down a little tighter and do something like that. But yeah, it's not, got to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Well, I'll be interested to hear if you follow up with her and she follows up with her daughter and granddaughter to see if they, you know, really, because you do, you know, in the St. Louis area, there's going to be an A&G chapter, there's an EGA chapter, there's a couple of needlepoint shops, you know, so there's a lot of resources that a lot of places don't have.
Right, right. Yeah, fortunate there. Yeah, we've got two excellent needlepoint shops and a cross-stitch shop, and there's certainly an EGA chapter, and there must be an A&G chapter. I've never looked. Yeah, we're fortunate where, like for you, you got to get in the car. Yeah. And not just to go two blocks either. You have to make a trip. Yeah.
Yeah. The closest needlework store is an hour and a half away.
Yeah. Which you are more than happy to do. People should not read that wrong. You're more than happy to make a day out of going to needlepoint needlework shops and buying threads and stuff. That's not a burden. But
No, actually we're going to Naperville and Glen Ellen on Wednesday.
Yeah.
To go to Tomorrow's Heirlooms, that's in Glen Ellen. These are Chicago suburbs.
Yeah.
And Stitcher's Garden in Naperville.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll probably leave around 8 o'clock or so. And...
hey, yeah, it's fun. It's an outing. Yeah.
Yeah. Spend a few hours in the needlework stores and then drive home.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. But for beginner people, it sure is nice. If there's one on the other side of town, it sure is nice. Yeah. So, all right.
Oh yeah.
We need to wrap up. That's best we can do on that one. We could do another 2 hours and get into the weeds about how to start and stop and set up a canvas and all that. Wait, setting up projects. That's what Beth loves. We'll get Beth in on that. No, she doesn't. She doesn't. I mentioned that just so she'll have something to cringe at. All right. That's going to
be thumping
it.
You.
Yeah. We'll hear about it. Yep. All right. That's going to be it. Sunday, we're going to have Mark and Nadine Roger Creative Experiences. Do go to that website because, if nothing else, the drool factor is extremely high. Extremely high. And then register. WeTalkFiber.com/weekend. Register for our event next March, the Needle Arts Weekend. We're going to have a great time. You want to be in on it. It's in St. Louis, so easy to get to. And classes, stitching, food, the whole thing. We're going to have it. So sign up. Do it soon. Thanks for listening.